Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want the Mars! The old train! And tell them that we love them!
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I felt outraged. Ah!
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare to be all cultured, likes us, sophisticated even.
Us?
We are so uncultured.
How uncultured are we?
I actually had to Google synonyms for cultured because I couldn't think of any more of them. Oh,
erudite.
What a crew. This erudite, that's a, ooh. Now I'm just going to have to Google that one. No, we sophisticated. We's urbane. We're literate, like knowledgeable, intelligent. Oh, there's your erudite. It's just, there's no area. It's erudite. That's what we is right here. We're enlightened even. This is Wretched Radio. Tragic. Would like to go highbrow on you today with a little poem post-Resurrection Sunday. It was sent to me by a buddy of mine who I didn't know that he could be so blue stock au courant. See? Right there. I looked it up in my little synonym machine.
Wow.
So mannerly and savant-like. He's scholarly even. Friel, we get the point. Enough
he's
with
straight
the
up,
synonyms.
He's straight up yogurt. That's how cultured he is.
He wrote a poem about a fellow, I have to confess to you, I forgot was such a crucial part of the gospel story. God pratters to us. In the Old Testament, he did a lot of baby talking. He showed pictures of his mighty arm rescuing a people from a land where they were in bondage, brought them into a land of prosperity flowing with milk and honey, but they couldn't get in there by themselves. He had to bring them in. He had to be their deliverer. It's baby talk. God preaching the gospel through events, through things. Typology was baby talk. When we see the lambs being slaughtered, it was a picture of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When we see a tabernacle, God's presence dwelling with us, with no ability to really get into the presence of God, unless you were the high priest who could only go in one day a year, and if he was not perfectly cleaned ceremonially, God would kill him. Baby talk. How do we get into the presence of God? Well, we needed to have one who could go through that curtain, which is exactly what happened on resurrection, on the day that Jesus Christ was crucified. The curtain split from top to bottom. We go through his body into the presence of God. That's baby talking. Pictures of the gospel for us. And that's what Barabbas is. He was the criminal who should have died, and yet Pilate, because of the whims of the people, released the guilty criminal and had Jesus die in his stead. Have you forgotten that you are Barabbas? That you are that man? Have you ever pondered what maybe went through the head of this criminal who was set free because of Jesus Christ, his death on his behalf? Whenever we see a news story of, say, an airplane crash, and praise God, seriously, there are so few of those these days. I got to tell you, this was good work. Now, this is good science right here. When people try to figure out what went wrong when that plane crashed and they fixed it, and that is why it's so safe to fly these days. It is radically better because of brilliant people trying to figure it out. Nevertheless, typically after a plane crash, you remember the stories. I was supposed to be on that plane. Why wasn't it I? I should have died in the crash. And they get, movies have been made about this. They don't know how now to process life and to work through it because they felt like they were a chosen one. A chosen one who shouldn't have survived but did. It causes them to think deep thoughts. Do you think Barabbas pondered those thoughts? Is it possible? For your consideration, a poem from Bill Zink. The Eyes of Barabbas. The night is dark as I ponder my fate. I look through the bars and I know it is too late, for the sins of my past are far too great, as seen through the eyes of Barabbas. Morning is broken. It is time to die. I have no words, no truth, no lie. There's nothing I can do that can make me comply, as seen through the eyes of Barabbas. I stand on the brink with three more men. I wonder what crime, what deed, what sin brought us together to face this end, as seen through the eyes of Barabbas. Then one is chosen to take my place. He takes my crimes, my sin, my disgrace. I don't understand as I look in his face, as seen through the eyes of Barabbas. My sins are forgiven. I've been set free. I follow my instincts and start to flee. But then I think to myself, why was it me, as seen through the eyes of Barabbas? Go now and sin no more, once he had said. And today for me, he has suffered and bled with a crown of thorns piercing his head, as seen through the eyes of Barabbas. The man took my place at such a great cost and stood in for me and all who are lost, as the Christ who died for me on the cross, as seen through the eyes of Barabbas. But his death, just the beginning to save all men from our past, our failures, our doubt, our sin. All praise be to God above our Lord. Our Christ is coming again, as seen through the eyes of Barabbas. You are the man. Hoping you took the time to remember that in this odd season where we cannot gather together to remember what our Lord Jesus Christ did to save sinners. Sat at the kitchen counter listening to different church services for Easter. Caught some Alistair Begg. Don't tell me the Bible is not relevant. Don't tell me it is not timely. Preaching from John chapter 20, this is what expository preaching will do for you. When you have a pastor, a man of God, who stares at a section of Scripture for a long time, he doesn't come up with a new understanding of the text. But it could be a new application because of a new scenario. John chapter 20, you recall this scene. Jesus Christ has died. That evening, on the first day of the week, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders, the text says. These days, you and I are locked behind closed doors. Why? Why? Well, because we've been told to, Fauci says. Nevertheless, the world is crouched behind closed doors because their God, science, has told them, you're in danger. And your sub-idol, comfort, health, life, well, they're at risk. And people are crouching behind locked doors, afraid to die. Just like the disciples were. Imagine what they may have been talking about. We can use a sanctified imagination. It's not like they were sitting there in silence. Perhaps they were thinking about the miracles that Jesus had done. Perhaps they were thinking about the good old days when he made so many meals for so many people, when he walked on water. Perhaps they recalled, what was the name of that fellow? He raised his daughter. Which one? He raised a lot of people. He was busy doing miracles all the time. Well, this was the little girl who was dead. Brought her back to, oh, Jairus' daughter. Right. Oh, man. That was amazing. Do you remember that? And they sat and remembered but they were afraid. Jesus not making the entry of a mythical character, which is what you would expect from a book that was trying to persuade you of something that is not true. Jesus not making the appearing in the clouds entry, not yet, just appears among them. And that's what he did, didn't he? Do you remember on the road to Emmaus? Same thing, just walked, just kind of appeared with them. Doesn't, kabang, look who's here, showtime. Nope. He just came among them, and what did he say to them as they sat in fear, perhaps remembering the good old days? Sound familiar? Peace. Shalom. And the text tells us it wasn't just, hey, chill, it's going to be okay, we're going to get through this season. No, 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 you have peace because your sins have been forgiven. That is the peace that surpasses all understanding. That is what he wrought for us and bought for us. When he died on a cross, it was finished and rose from the dead. And as the world sits behind closed doors in fear of Corona, you and I have peace because our biggest problem has been solved. The wrath of God satisfied because of Jesus Christ. Peace. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for being here today. Always appreciate that you choose to listen to Wretched Radio. On this Easter Monday, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We, of course, are still mostly sheltering in place. Might I suggest a way to, I don't know, kill a half hour, unless you're a binge watcher? Wretched TV, our 30-minute program. It's hosted by Todd. It contains things like witnessing encounters, discussions on tough theological issues, or chats on the various topics that make their way through the Christian community. If you'd like to watch it on your telly, check your local listings. You can always watch it at wretched.org/TV. Wretched.org/TV. Full-length Wretched TV episodes just waiting for you. If you get a chance, thank a gospel partner. It's their generosity that allows us to make Wretched TV available to everyone. And if I may, and if you're able, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If and you are a preborn.org/wretched supporter, providing ultrasounds and even ultrasound machines, this is a great big thank you from South Florida.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room because our mission is to save lives, save souls in South Florida. And in this very room, that specific thing happens. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way. Thank you for your ministry to the unborn.
Ultrasounds save lives, but preborn clinics need ultrasound machines first. If you could provide a machine or if you could provide a $28 ultrasound, whatever it is, your support for preborn, it saves lives, it saves souls, it saves families. You can become a preborn supporter at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Picture, if you will, a Saturday night. You're sitting at your computer and you decide to watch an edifying video, maybe John MacArthur. And the next thing you know, it's 3:00 in the morning and you are knee deep in YouTube watching a baby giraffe trying to stand up again. Oh, been there, done that. It's happened to all of us. Instead of watching random videos and losing all sense of time, visit the home of all things wretched, wretched.org. There are hundreds of hours of biblically based TV and radio programs and a library full of hand-picked content specifically for you. Over 2,400 30-minute TV programs with subjects ranging from abortion and apologetics to systematic theology and hermeneutics. Wretched's hour-long radio program, posted every day, tackles tough issues Christians face today. So the next time you're wandering around the web watching giraffe and cat videos, why not head over to wretched.org, the home of all things wretched. Wretched.org. If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. heartsforthelost.com.
books of the Bible. Ephesians was written by Paul to the churches around Ephesus. It is about who Christians are and how they live. When we are in Christ, we are made alive, reconciled to God, and united with other believers in the church. If you are struggling in your walk with Christ, perhaps it is time to revisit what Christ has done for you and who you are in Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Christianity is not a blind faith. It is an eyewitness faith. This is Wretched Radio. Can you articulate why you believe Jesus Christ is alive? The linchpin miracle. If He didn't rise from the dead, you and I are believing a joke. You and I are committing the sin of blasphemy. You and I are worshiping a false God. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, can you articulate a very clear defense of the bedrock miracle on which you have staked your life and your eternity? This was put together courtesy of one Tom Hammond. He's the author of What Time Is Purple. You can still get your copies. No cost to you. Wretched.org/purple. Wretched.org/purple. Our confidence rests on the reliability of the eyewitness accounts. We're not believing something that a bunch of guys made up. We are believing something that a bunch of guys saw. That is crucial. There are people today in cults who will die because they believed a lie, but not when they have seen something, not when they have seen it and they have been forced to believe it because their own eyes consumed it, now even threatened at the risk of their lives for believing what they claim to believe. They couldn't recant because they saw it. And that's what we follow. We trust their eyewitness accounts. And if you say, well, that's kind of flimsy, I have to follow what a bunch of guys saw. Well, tell me, how exactly, if you were God, might you do it? If he's going to die for sinners one time, that's it, one time, not re-sacrificed at an altar over and over again. No, one time. Somebody's got to be the eyewitnesses.
Wait, he could have done it now.
Well, sure, that would have been my preference, so I could have seen it. Well, somebody had to be chosen. Oh, that word. And it wasn't you and me. But he's written it down for us so that we can know it actually happened. Seriously, that's kind of a scary thought to ponder. But if you were going to try to persuade the world through an historical event that you are indeed the only true and living God and that forgiveness of sins is available only through the Lord Jesus Christ, how would you have done it? You can't think of a better way now, can you? Neither can I, because there isn't. If the eyewitness accounts are not reliable, your faith isn't reliable. This is a big deal. If our belief is not reliable, what we celebrate is a fictitious fairy tale. And if what we celebrate is a fictitious fairy tale, Christianity is idolatry. So how can we be certain eyewitnesses really wrote down what they saw? Well, the eyewitnesses and the accounts were in circulation a little too early for them to be a myth. This is a big deal. A myth cannot develop when people who are able to refute it are still alive. No, he didn't rise from the dead. There was no Jesus. Well, remember 500 people? No, he didn't. Those 500 people didn't exist. They're lying. They've all given up their confession of faith. If somebody is alive to refute it and recant it, you can't grow the biggest religion ever. Many witnesses were still alive when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. Kirka. That's right. Because we sophisticated and erudite-like. AD 55. Many witnesses were still alive when Paul wrote Galatians. That would be AD 49, give or take. A myth requires two or more generations to pass before it can take root. That ain't two generations, no matter how you slice that. The best scholarship. The Synoptic Gospels were written within 30 years of Calvary. Matthew, perhaps early 50s. Mark, during the 50s, perhaps after Matthew. Luke was likely written AD 60 or 61. Luke in the 80s, maybe early 90s. These accounts were written down. They could have been mocked by people who are like, what do you mean? He didn't do any of these things you're talking about. Get out of here. That's actually, now see, not a lot of people know this.
I know.
But that's actually the Greek or the Aramaic or the Hebrew. Same thing. It's one of those words that transcends all the, like, get out of here.
Sounds kind of Latin derived.
And then you give him a noogie. Get out of here.
Sounds New York cabbie derived.
The written eyewitness accounts. Show's over. The written eyewitness accounts are too detailed to be a myth. This is big. Put this in your little apologetics quiver and prepare to fire. This is a quote from a guy that we don't normally quote because too controversial, the C.S. Lewis fella. Nevertheless, first century fiction was not written in today's style of realistic narrative. No mistaking ancient myth with real history, because ancient fiction never wasted time on unnecessary details that didn't drive the plot or promote a character's development. Hold on to that thought. It is a biggie. A world-renowned expert on the subject said, quote, I've been reading poems, romances, vision literature, legends, and myths all my life. I know what they are like. I know none of them are like this. Of the gospel text, there are only two possible views. Either this is a reportage, or else some unknown ancient writer without known predecessors or successors suddenly anticipated the whole technique of modern novelistic realistic narrative. Wow.
Could happen.
Remember that thought? That little detail? That details are not inside of myths? Consider these few details, and there's many more. Mark 4:38. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He's asleep on a cushion? Now, myths did not write that way because they weren't trying to persuade people it was actual history, because it wasn't. And they knew it. And so they didn't waste ink or parchment on it. It would be entirely superfluous. The Bible includes these details, John 21. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not afar from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging a net full of fish. John 21:11. Simon Peter went up to draw the net to the land full of large fish, 153. Well, there's a detail that isn't needed if you are writing a myth, but the Bible includes details because it's not. The written eyewitness accounts, too self-debasing and counterproductive to be a myth. If they were trying to launch a false religion, the gospel writers, the epistle writers, with themselves as the founders,
wouldn't have put in all those warts.
No, they would not. John didn't mention his own name. How's about Peter's courtyard failure? That's a little embarrassing if you're going to prop yourself up to be the papa. The frequent bickering and pettiness among Jesus' closest disciples. Consider all the squawking that went on.
I'm the greatest.
Embarrassing. Jesus never taking a side on political issues. Jesus asking the Father to be spared the cup of his suffering. Jesus asking, why have you forsaken me? Jesus being executed as a common criminal. He's supposed to be, he's in the spotlight. You're going to have him crucified in the most publicly gruesome, shameful way imaginable? We haven't come up with a more shameful way to kill somebody than crucifixion. And yet that was the hero. You wouldn't do it. An appeal to a woman's testimony, which wasn't in those days admissible in court. The only reason you have those details in eyewitness accounts is because they're eyewitness accounts. Furthermore, the written eyewitness accounts were too costly to be a myth. Not a single eyewitness of the resurrected Christ ever recanted his testimony. He huge. Excluding John, every apostle died. Not pretty. Got their heads lopped off, crucified, upside down. John himself was still boiled in a vat of oil. Didn't recant. Couldn't. You can't. You can't do it. People will not willingly die a gruesome death for what they know is a lie, and yet they did. Why? Because it wasn't a lie. Question. Are you able to articulate those historical details to preach to somebody who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as the risen Savior, that he is risen indeed, and you can stake your life and eternity on it? If not, you would do well to memorize those details, because you have staked your life and eternity on it. And should it be that you happen to be flipping by the radio dial and perhaps you have heard for the first time, gulp, Jesus Christ is not like Santa Claus. He's not like some fictitious divine being that somebody's concocted who fires lightning bolts out of his finger. He is the risen Christ who died to save sinners, rose again, and he's coming back to judge the world in righteousness and you. And if you do not repent and put your trust in him, you will perish everlastingly. But today you can receive everlasting life, and you can trust in Jesus Christ, because Christianity is not a blind faith. It is an eyewitness faith. This is Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text. An effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Attorney General William Barr's office said that authorities who choose to single out religious organizations to enforce social distancing rules will face action for discrimination. In the week that led up to Easter, the Attorney General's office said that they would begin monitoring government regulation of religious services, says the Christian Post. In a tweet from the official DOJ Twitter account Saturday, the message read, "While social distancing policies are appropriate during this emergency, they must be applied even-handedly and not single out religious organizations." Many churches have turned to online or drive-in services, but many state officials have been uncertain about how to treat churches in light of social distancing rules. In late March, you'll remember, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio considered closing churches and synagogues if they refused to follow a stay-at-home order. He was criticized for what others called an unconstitutional threat. Tony Perkins tweeted at the time that de Blasio's incendiary and unconstitutional threat to permanently shut down churches and synagogues must be retracted or corrected if it was a misstatement. This type of religious hostility is what fuels noncompliance, because it reveals a motive beyond public safety. You think? New York, not the only state where officials are trying to apply social distancing rules to churches. In Wilmington, North Carolina, the police department says believers should stick to online services, as drive-in services could be unnecessarily risky. In Louisville, Kentucky, the mayor prohibited drive-in services, and in the Mississippi town of Greenville, another mayor also disallowed drive-in services, although there, one church is fighting back against the city. According to Fox News, Temple Baptist Church in Greenville, represented by the Alliance Defending Freedom, is suing the city. Greenville Police Department hasn't yet commented. The suit comes after Mayor Eric Simmons approved an executive order a week ago that prohibits drive-in services until the state's shelter-in-place is lifted. Reports say that 8 Greenville police officers issued $500 tickets to congregants who refused to leave a parking lot where Temple Baptist Church was having a drive-in service last week. Representatives from Alliance Defending Freedom says church members stayed in their cars. They had their windows rolled up during the service. It was the third week the church had been conducting drive-in services. Another Baptist church also had their drive-in services shut down by the Greenville police last week. Many local governments in the U.S. are struggling with how to safely limit church services amid the coronavirus pandemic. While many churches have turned to online services, others are hosting drive-in services, says the National Review. But it's unclear for many officials if drive-in services are the best practice. And in Washington, D.C., the Supreme Court could soon be weighing in on the question of whether abortions can be halted because of the coronavirus pandemic. Planned Parenthood and two other pro-abortion groups asking the High Court to lift Texas Governor Greg Abbott's ban on most abortions, along with other non-essential surgeries. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Trials of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn from death, resurrected that we may have life, and he is the firstborn over all creation, the preeminent Son, through whom we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Nice alliteration. Lame worldview. This is Wretched Radio, the Atlantic magazine, with a helpful headline. If you want false hope to survive the fear, the anxiety of COVID-19, get yourself a pandemic puppy. That's right. To soothe your worries and your woes, get yourself a pandemic pooch. Oh, the alliteration.
Are these like pound puppies?
It worked. It's a pandemic puppy is what it is.
You know, I spent my pandemic watching Tiger King, so I'm going to get myself a pandemic puma.
Okay, what is it with this Tiger King business?
No idea.
The world is obsessed by this. We turned it on. I'm sorry. Look, I'm not trying to offend you, but with like 3 minutes, why would I want to enter into a world of weirdness? And besides, if I recall, the profanity, it's like, I can't. It's just a shocking thing to me how swearing never bothered me when I was a pagan. Never heard it. Could go to, there was, oh, I know. Okay, so it was Saturday. And I'm working out. That's right. I didn't go to the gym. Don't worry. No Fauci infractions here.
Yep.
I'm working out with the rubber band machine thing. Wasn't that a band in the 70s?
No, there was a song.
Yeah,
the rubber band
machine.
Yeah.
Something like that.
The spinners.
And I'm working out. You know what? I think I worked with the spinners once, and I'm not kidding.
Really?
I think so. And they were paid in cash for their gig. And the guy, because they'd asked for cash, they didn't want a check, they didn't want money wired, they wanted cash. And the guy put it in his shoe for safekeeping.
Yep. I wouldn't.
I guess we all have our means and methods of banking. At any rate, I think they could actually still sing at the time, if I'm not mistaken. You watch those PBS specials where they did the flashback to the, and it's like, well, bless their hearts, they're out there doing it. But it's like, that's got to be lip sync. Those guys aren't singing the falsetto business anymore, are they? So there I am working out with the rubber band machine, man. And I'm flipping through the channels, desperate for anything. And a movie popped on from 1980-something. You could tell because of the clothing.
That the shoulder pads and
baggy,
the long...
Yeah, the whole deal. And it was the woman who Elizabeth... She's in the Downton Abbey business. She's having a baby is the name of the movie. And I went, oh, I think I remember this movie. It's like a coming of age for like a 20-something trying to figure
McGovern,
out this whole family.
88.
1988 was the year. Elizabeth McGovern. Didn't she do the Poseidon Adventure song?
I think she was in Big.
Ah.
And she ran
too.
For president.
Okie dokie then. I thought, okay, I can watch this. And our little cable thing at home, it takes a while for the thing to pop on, you know, so you see it and then you have to wait for it to like catch up. And we pay for that. It pops on. And within like 30 seconds, this is cable TV on a Saturday morning dropping the F-bomb. And I went, I think I saw that movie. I don't remember the F-bomb being dropped. Click, away I go. Off to watch the tennis finals. From like 1984. Ridiculous. But I don't remember those movies having vulgar. And now it's like as a Christian, I don't like hearing it. And the Tiger King. Is that what he's called? The Lion King?
No, Tiger King.
That's something
King,
different,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Don't
confuse the two.
A little different.
Yeah. Well, maybe the Tiger King will become a Broadway show too. I don't understand your Tiger King ways.
You and I are about the only two, Toddley.
Everybody's watching
the rest
the
of the world is entranced.
All right, Joey, did you watch it? Just admit
I did,
it.
Yes.
All right, what's the attraction to it?
It is human depravity at its worst. It's just watching people justify themselves.
Look,
it's
human depravity,
great
it's like
practice.
I can watch Christian TV anytime
yes,
I want
crash.
To get that.
It's like a car crash, right?
Total depravity at its so, by the way, well, if you have not seen the Hans Feeney Lutheran satire video, the latest one,
Scathing, brutal.
Oh, Joey, vicious. See if you can find that one. See if you can play that through the system here. There's the devil.
And Krampus
is talking to another demon. Yeah, whatever the one Christmas demon is trying to talk the devil out of what he's doing, what he's scheming in order to bilk people out of their money. And it is brutal. The world thinks that my alliteration lip just got carried away. Petting your canine pooch puppies, that's going to help you feel better through the coronavirus. I'm afraid there's something a little better. There ain't nothing wrong with petting a pooch. I find that it is a very nice thing to do also. It's somehow soothing. God wants us to graduate from puppies, to exchange a canine for him, to find our peace in relying on him and his strength. So go ahead, get yourself a dog if you'd like to. It's a nice thing to do. Find some joy in petting a dog. That's cool. But if it stops there for the Christian, we are missing, needless to say, a greater source of peace that surpasses understanding. And that would be God himself. In a sense, they're really, you almost hate to use it because it really seems trite and you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings because, look, I get it. I think that these comfort dogs, they're a blessing. I think that there are people who benefit from them. And I'm not kidding and I'm not being patronizing. Having said that, we need to graduate up from that. God wants to be our strength. When we start feeling whatever it is that might start overwhelming us, as rational or irrational as it might be, he wants us to lean on him, to find that we can deal with the dark night of the soul, not just by petting a dog, but by trusting in him and his promises. And so to those folks who might have one of those dogs, pet on, and I kid you not, but press on from them too, to the better source, to the greater source, to the constant source, to the never let you down source. The world, that's all, it stops with petting a pooch. Christianity, needless to say, goes a step further. You find that Hans Feeney video, Joey?
It's going in your folder right now.
Oh, I see. So I can actually play it right here. So, from henceforth and forevermore, I can play this. All right, what's it called? The devil's what?
Kenneth Copeland suit.
Now, Joey, we weren't supposed to mention the word suit. That just totally blows what we're trying to do here. All right, it's not here yet. Believe me, this one is a pistol. In the meantime, as long as we're talking about the coronavirus, who? They were a good band once upon a
they
time, if I'm not mistaken.
Band.
Stating abortions must continue even at the expense of containing coronavirus. Well, priorities, priorities. We're seeing worldviews all over the place. Aren't we? The WHO released a statement stating they will continue to prioritize abortion, diverting medical assets towards what they labeled reproductive health. Women's choices and rights to sexual and reproductive health care should be respected, irrespective of whether or not she's a suspected or confirmed COVID-19 infection. Wow. Every single decision that you're seeing made on the national stage these days, it has a worldview behind it. Make no mistake about it. What? You're agog. You're simply agog.
Over the weekend, apparently yeah. Jim Harbaugh, who coaches Michigan.
Uh-huh.
I like Jim at Notre Dame. I liked him when he played for the Bears. Don't like him coaching.
Yeah.
Did an hour-long interview for a podcast.
Uh-huh.
He's apparently Roman Catholic because yeah. somehow in a sports interview...
Yeah.
He had the most eloquent defense of life.
No way.
Ever.
Well, good on him.
And the Yahoo reporter who reported it, and I do mean Yahoo reporter.
He was country western singer?
Just vilified him. And I thought, you know, I'm not a Wolverine fan, but suddenly I like John Harbaugh a lot more.
Good on him. It couldn't be a better defense, though, than Klusendorf gives. Couldn't be better than that.
No, Kokel, but more unexpected.
Yeah, that.
I mean, it just, when it shows up there, and it kind of ended the interview because the guy had nowhere to know where to go.
Sexual and reproductive health care is integral to universal health coverage and achieving the right to health. Unless, of course, you're the baby.
You're the baby. Yeah.
That includes contraception, quality health care during and after pregnancy and childbirth, safe abortion to the full extent of the law.
Ooh.
And their worldviews shining through. Don't forget, science has a worldview, too, and scientists have a worldview, and they bring it to the party. Make no mistake about it. Hey, congratulations to Congressman Jim Clyburn. He gets the Twisted Scripture Award du jour. Guess what Bible verse he quoted, sort of, stating, "We can be just as faithful praying in our closets, praying in our private homes, and I'm not too sure that that is not more of a demonstration of faith than it is to have to gather in public, especially when we put other people at risk." He was sort of alluding to Matthew 6:6 when Jesus was talking about praying in your closet.
That was it?
That's better than church. Sir, that's not exactly the same subject that Jesus was on. There's this little old thing called context that determines the meaning of the verse. And I'm afraid, sir, that Matthew 6:6 didn't have anything to do with being quarantined and not being allowed to go to church. When we return, we won't tell you who it's about, but it's about a guy in a suit from the Lutheran satire man, Hans Feeney, next. Oh, it's brutal on Wretched Radio. First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is Wretched's latest evangelistic resource, perfect for sharing with those who don't understand who Jesus is.
People love to question the divinity of Jesus Christ. Phil Johnson, what would be one proof that Jesus Christ is God?
The calendar is based on it.
That's a pretty big proof, but we have compiled 21 more proofs Jesus is God in a booklet titled The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You know somebody who needs to know Jesus. Get your copies. Terrific evangelistic booklet. Wretched.org/22.
The Man Who Split Time is a must read for every skeptic. So we challenge you. Get it. Read it. Then give it away. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copy at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
Not to say I told you so, but I've been sharing with you how Tomorrow Clubs think kids camps in Eastern Europe meeting weekly to hear the gospel. Kids get saved, parents get saved, and churches get revitalized. Here is just one example so I can say, I told you so.
There is actually was a dying church, only two families. So this lady, she's a school teacher. Someone told her about this village, so she came, and believe it or not, she has about 40 kids coming to the Tomorrow Club from the villages around. So the whole church is filled with kids.
Love hearing that. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe? Kids are getting saved, families getting saved, and churches revitalized. $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. When we were dead in sin and unrighteousness, God provided the righteousness he requires in Jesus Christ, our substitute. If God has provided for our salvation, How much more is he able to meet our daily needs? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So there I am with my eldest daughter when she suddenly gets a text, and what is her response? Oh, she cringes as well. We all should. This is Wretched Radio. A friend of hers who is not a believer sends a little snippet of a prosperity preacher named Ken Copeland. And they turned it into a bit of an online spoof. And this unbelieving friend sent it to her. What the intention was, don't know. But it was at least a pointing out, so this is what you're a part of? So this is Christianity right here. You're in this little kooky club that we're seeing on the internet machine. You and I should see the shenanigans of prosperity preachers, false teachers like Ken Copeland, and we should have one of two responses. Number one, we should be righteously annoyed by it and proclaim, even using names, this man is a false teacher and he has nothing to do with genuine Christianity. That's our first response. Second option for you is you create a Lutheran satire video.
Hey, Satan.
Oh, hey, what's up, Krampus?
Well, I heard you just designed another human suit where you're going to look like a faithful Christian preacher and then trick people into believing soul-destroying heresy. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, dude, it's amazing. Super tricky, gonna fool everybody.
Wow, so is it like a humble monk or something?
Nah, dude, I got something even more trustworthy. Check this out. What do you think?
What the here is that?
I know, right? No one's gonna know it's me.
Wait, you're serious with that thing?
Yeah, why?
Because you look 1,000% demon-possessed?
Dude, are you saying I don't look like a trustworthy Christian?
I'm saying you look like you ate a trustworthy Christian and...
Just so you understand, the guy with the sort of normal voice, that's a demon. What's his name?
Krampus.
Grampus?
Krumpus.
Krumpus?
Yeah, the demon around Christmas time.
And he's talking to Satan. Well, it's got a white suit, and on the head of it is Ken Copeland, and Satan is talking through the head on top of the white suit.
Trustworthy Christian, and then wore his skin to a Lawrence Welk taping.
Really?
You look like Sir Hiss from Disney's Robin Hood had a baby with a well-dressed Chucky doll.
Come on, man, for real?
You look like somebody shaved me, stuffed me in a circus cannon, and fired me through a men's warehouse.
Yeah, but looks won't stop people from thinking I'm speaking the word of God, right?
Unless you completely offset them with your voice, they will. What are you gonna sound like?
Like this?
Strong! South wind! Heat!
I'm not missing that dedication in Jerusalem.
Are you kidding me? You can't talk like that.
Why not?
Because you sound like a fairy tale villain casting spells over a bubbling cauldron. What book of the Bible are people going to listen to you preach on? St. Paul's Guide to Murdering Blonde Princesses?
I don't sound that bad, do I?
You sound like if Gargamel played the closeted gay serial killer fundamentalist preacher on every third episode of Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
Well, but what if I have like a really pious aura to me? Like, what if I surround myself with a bunch of stuff that makes me feel like a really faithful Christian?
Like if you hung out with the poor and shunned the luxuries of this life? I mean, I guess that might work.
No, I was thinking more like...
He made that airplane so cheap for me, I couldn't help but buy it.
Okay, maybe we're overthinking this. Let's just forget the whole suit thing and maybe use this whole quarantine fiasco to destroy people's faith.
Oh, speaking of that, guess what I'm gonna say to people who have lost their jobs due to the coronavirus?
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Satan, come on. This guy you've invented is so transparently evil. There's no way that people will listen to him.
Yeah, I think they will.
No, they won't.
Pretty sure they will.
No, dude, they absolutely will not.
They just gave me $500 million.
What? Why?
Dude, humans are so enslaved by mammon and pleasure that they automatically see earthly prosperity as a sign that they've earned the love of God that they fear was not fully given to them as a free gift in the blood of Jesus. Thus, they will immediately throw all their money and trust in you if you promise them health and wealth in return. Seriously, man, it works every time, even if you look, sound, and act like...
Like if someone stuffed Ebenezer Scrooge and Charlie Sheen inside a half-melted ventriloquist dummy?
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody take my money. I got damn itchy ears.
come tell me all the things my sinful nature wanna hear.
Seriously, dude, it'll work for you too. Think of the least appealing person in the world.
Come on, there's no way anyone's gonna listen to me if I go to them as an angry grandma who smells like white diamonds and Virginia Slims and who makes the waitresses cry every time she goes to happy hour at the Cheesecake Factory. I stand corrected.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't get all of those references. People love to have their ears tickled. And you and I do not do them, nor do we do the wolf a favor by not pointing them out. Received an email from Billy Foot. Remember the name? Sure you do. The Foots. Billy and Cindy Foot. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Church, open your eyes once more. Have you forgotten what he died for? We need to proclaim the truth. And there are times when we need to warn people that there are false teachers that are preying on people. It is not a kindness to be silent. Billy Foot sent me an email saying, hey, for whatever it's worth, I just wrote a song about false teachers. It's not funny.
Well, I know some preacher men with some business plans, and I think this must be said. They're making millions selling Jesus. They take, but they never give, and all of their possessions will all go down in flames when they stand before a God who never knew their names. And all the wolves will burn in hell. All the wolves will burn in hell. Well, I'm no theologian, but I all the wolves will burn in hell.
Notice the tone? It's not funny. It's not gleeful. It's not a joke. False teachers are going to perish, and it is going to be horrible for them. You could argue the fate of the false teacher will be worse than the fate of the worst malevolent dictator you can imagine, because they lead people to hell. This is not fun and games. It's not funny. And to demur from ever wanting to talk about them, to warn people, because in our politically correct society, it's not esteemed as being nice and polite. I'm sorry, I don't think it's polite to not warn people, including the false teacher. You are on an AC/DC row.
God's commands, they love like Jesus loves, faithful shepherds who really treasure the truth found in God's word. But woe to you false teachers, when you lead the sheep astray, you will stand before our God with nothing left to say. And all the wolves will burn in hell. All the wolves will burn in hell. Oh, I'm no theologian, but I know enough to tell. They are. You saw the wolves, they will burn in hell. Well, I'm no theologian, but I know enough to tell. All the wolves will burn in hell.
If you happen to think that's not very nice, singing about that, it's not nice that these people lead people to eternal conscious torment, nor is it nice to let them go unwarned themselves. If we love the Lord, we love the truth, we love the lost, and if we love false teachers, we will warn them. The wolves will burn in hell. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.